From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Should Maryland raise its minimum wage to $15 an hour? As lawmakers debate, dozens of business owners and workers have testified about the potential impact of a wage boost. Lawrence Richardson of the Maryland Chamber of Commerce lays out the concerns of small business owners across the state. Will they be forced to cut jobs or hours? Will they relocate to bordering states? While Alyssa Baron-Menza of Business for a Fair Minimum Wage argues that higher wages result in higher customer spending.
We know that raising the minimum wage acts as a stimulus. It boosts spending and it helps businesses that are using low-wage models now to reduce turnover and boost productivity.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Should Maryland raise its minimum wage to $15 an hour? Lawmakers are considering phasing in an increase. The state minimum wage currently sits at $10.10 an hour. The House Economic Matters Committee advanced a revised version of the bill this week. Revisions included dropping the inclusion of tipped wage workers, slowing the pace of the increase to hit $15 by 2025 instead of 2023, and removing a requirement that the minimum wage be tied to inflation in the future. A Senate committee heard testimony on a companion bill but has not yet voted on it. In January, Governor Hogan expressed concern over the proposed increase. He told journalist Mark Steiner that the minimum wage is intended for entry-level work. Quote, "You're not supposed to be able to support a family on a minimum wage," close quote, the governor said. By the way, if you pick up some extraneous noise during this conversation, it's not our guests. It's the construction on WIPR's new front entrance. Joining me to discuss what the business community makes of the minimum wage issue is Alyssa Baron-Menza, Vice President of Business for a Fair Minimum Wage, a national network of owners and executives advocating for an increased minimum wage. Thanks for being here.
Great to be with you.
And on the line from Annapolis is Lawrence A. Richardson, Jr., Vice President of Government Affairs for the Maryland Chamber of Commerce, which advocates on behalf of business owners. Welcome to the show.
Thank you and good morning. Thank you very much for the invite.
We'll also be hearing from workers and business owners who testified before the House Committee on Economic Matters. A poll this month by the Sarah T. Hughes Field Politics Center at Goucher College found that two-thirds of the Maryland adults who responded support raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, and 30% oppose it. Alyssa, what's driving the support?
I think there's three key pieces to this. It's too often forgotten in the minimum wage debate that workers are also customers. Today's minimum wage is not keeping up with the cost of living, and it's bad for business when working people can't afford the basics. There's two other key pieces. Low pay typically means high employee turnover. So with lower turnover, businesses will see reduced hiring and training costs, less product waste, lower error and accident rates. We also hear from businesses who want to reduce the strain on the social safety net caused by inadequate wages that are too little to live on and level the playing field among businesses while strengthening the economy and helping businesses and communities thrive.
Larry Richardson, in your view, what are those who support this increase in the minimum wage? What are they overlooking?
On its face, you simply ask the question, should someone get a higher wage? And clearly, most folks, not knowing any of the facts or any of the results that come from it, would probably agree. However, I think once you, if there is a more an in-depth explanation as to what the results of that will be, your mindset can change. I think we saw that back a couple years ago when there was debate over the mandatory sick and safe leave down here in Annapolis. I think the initial poll of should there be mandatory paid leave, and there was a very high number of folks that said yes. Then the question is, well, should there be that leave if there's going to be an increase in costs, or if folks will lose their jobs, or if employers are going to have difficulty in making the ability to pay that. And each of these times you put out a qualifier, that approval number dropped. So I think on its face it sounds good, but when you look at the realities of life that would come with this, we think the numbers would be different.
Well, of course, Maryland has been on a path of raising minimum wage for 4 years. Maryland has now reached $10.10 an hour. Were businesses, Larry, not able to adjust to that increase?
Some didn't. In all actuality, some didn't. We've had businesses indicate they had to, at that time, reduce the hours of some of their employees, reduce the number of their employees. So if this goes through, so right on top of that increase, and on top of other costs that have been placed upon business over the recent years, as I said, I refer to the mandatory paid leave. There's currently a legislation before the committees in Annapolis right now that would seek to add another paid leave insurance fund that would insurers would have to pay into. There's what we refer to as a layering effect. So we hear, well, it's only a dollar, or it's only this, it's only that. A little bit here, a little bit here, all of a sudden adds up to a lot. The bigger businesses can afford that. I've had folks ask me, well, Amazon does this, Walmart does this. Our response to that is, that's great. If a business is in a position to do that, then by all means they should. The problem becomes with this bill is that what you have is a one-size-fits-all program. So while the big guys aren't getting hurt that bad, your small mom and pops are literally not going to be in a position where they can raise prices.
I want to get more into that later, but Alyssa, there was something you wanted to say.
I'd like to come back to the fact that we've had a minimum wage for over 80 years. It is one of the most researched social issues. The most rigorous research on actual past minimum wage increases is clear that it does not cause job loss. In fact, we see that states that have raised their minimum wages, including Maryland, above the federal level, have experienced better employment and better small business trends than states that did not. And we know that raising the minimum wage acts as a stimulus. It boosts spending, and it helps businesses that are using low-wage models now to reduce turnover and boost productivity. And those two factors are very important in offsetting the increase in payroll, that boosted buying power and that reduce in turnover. Again, it's important to remember that 70% of our economy comes from consumer spending. So consumers having more money to spend is a big deal for business.
And well, let me ask you particularly about two counties that have adopted higher minimum wages than this state. Employers in Prince George's County pay $11.50 an hour. In Montgomery County, businesses with 50 employees or more pay $12.25. Those with fewer employees pay $12 an hour. Do you have any data that says it's working there?
I think it's early days. I think it's good to go back and look at, for example, a comprehensive study of all neighboring counties in the U.S. located on different sides of a border with a different minimum wage level over a 16-year period, which showed no adverse employment effects from higher minimum wages.
Larry Richardson, what about those two counties in Maryland? Is the higher minimum wage working there?
And I would counter when in conversations we've had with businesses there, there's been a detriment. There was recently a study done. Part of that study had a review from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, it shows that from between 2011 and 2016, it looked at various counties, both in Virginia, the D.C. area, Prince George's, and Montgomery County. Of the counties that were involved, ran it looked to job growth, to business growth, the number of establishments, whether they've have increased between that period of time. Between 2011 and 2016, a number of the counties in Virginia showed substantive growth. D.C. showed the substantive growth. Prince George's County had a net growth in businesses of 361. The others were in the thousands. Montgomery County had a net growth of 6. And midways in 2013 is when Montgomery County, for example, went to their increased minimum wage. We have had members indicate that they've had to adjust. They've had to adjust by reducing hours. They've had to adjust by reducing staff. And businesses are not expanding anywhere near the rate they are in the areas right around that.
One of the concerns that's been raised is that surrounding states, Delaware, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, have lower minimum wages. Roy Droll, who owns an automotive company in Western Maryland, testified an increase to $15 would cost his business $100,000 more a year, and so he's brainstorming options.
One of my solutions is to move to West Virginia, where the minimum wage is half the amount of money. However, that costs money, and I don't know that it's going to work. The other thing is, push me into an early retirement. Really don't want to do that. Some of my people are my age. What are they going to do, too?
Can Maryland take this leap without losing companies to other states?
So we've heard this claim in the past, but it's never come to pass. Research on past increases disproves this. I'll go back to this comprehensive study looking at a 16-year period at all of the states that had a different minimum wage rate across state borders, and we saw no adverse employment effects. We do not see businesses moving across state lines. The reason that this doesn't happen is two things. One is businesses are not taking into account the boost in spending that comes as we raise the minimum wage. Turnover is also incredibly costly for a business. So we know as we raise wages and we can reduce our hiring and training costs, that that is a huge cost offset.
Larry, what is your data about whether a higher minimum wage causes businesses to leave or close?
We would definitely argue that is a reality of life. Through the House and the Senate hearings on this bill, we had over 40 businesses come down to talk about the impact of what they've seen both through 1010 and what they anticipate would happen through an increase to 15. We have one gentleman that runs a staffing agency in the Hagerstown area, and he had mentioned that over the past several years, with the continual layering of costs to business, that he had 10 of his clients had either expanded their business or had increased locations of their business, all of them either 10 miles up the road in Pennsylvania or 5 miles down the road in West Virginia. We've had businesses on the Eastern Shore that are already looking and making arrangements to move to Delaware or up to Pennsylvania because of the additional costs they've got. They are definitely afraid that they're going to go out of business.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Kast, speaking with Lawrence Richardson, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Maryland Chamber of Commerce, and with Alyssa Barron-Menza, Vice President of Business for a Fair Minimum Wage. We're talking about proposals in the state legislature to raise Maryland's minimum wage to $15 an hour. Here's a suggestion put forth by Pat McElroy, who runs an automotive and towing company in Parkville, Maryland. When she testified in opposition to the minimum wage increase, she asked lawmakers to consider benefits outside of wages.
Start helping small businesses design programs that are good for them and for their employees related to total compensation. Taxable income for those that realize that, and non-taxable income. I have 45 employees that work with Tim and I. This bill does affect them. It affects that we can give them in that non-taxable income. We pay their medical benefits 100%. For their families.
Alyssa, is there a compromise to be made where other benefits like retirement, health care coverage could be exchanged for an increase in hourly wages?
Our starting premise here is that raising the minimum wage to 15 by 2023 will be good for business. We had 36 business leaders from around the state submit testimony in support to the Senate Finance Committee. The key piece of this here is that our businesses need customers with money to spend. So that's sort of the driving force of the support here. I think if you want to also look at additional things that help small business, we can be talking about things like local purchasing, local procurement on the part of state government. We can be looking at access to credit. We can be looking at how well we educate small businesses to access government contracts. But we are hearing from small businesses across the state who feel that this is the stimulus that they need to ensure that they have customers who can afford their products and services, and we continue to grow the economy from the ground up.
Denise Vaughn testified that when she started as a home health care worker 28 years ago, she made $11.75 an hour. She is still paid less than $15 an hour. She described the stress of having no safety net.
Just recently, I was evicted because I got sick on my job. I hurt myself lifting a patient. Then I was home for months. I had to turn to the public justice department to assist me. No one addressed these things. We don't have insurance. We don't have workman's comp. We don't have 401k. We have nothing.
Lawrence, looking at the rising cost of medical care, the cost of housing, shouldn't employers pick up some of the slack so that workers are not right at the edge of financial disaster?
Sheila, I can guarantee you that of the hundreds and thousands of employers that we interact with, every employer I know wants to do the best they can for their employees, and most of them do. I think, as you heard Ms. McElroy make note, they provide a number of benefits over and above the wage level, which they pay well. The problem that you have with doing this is, what can a business afford? We continually hear, well, it's only a dollar. It's not. What you have is that for a number of for all these businesses, not only is there the wage increase that the employer then must address, there are ancillary cost increases that occur. Your workers' compensation coverage rate goes up. Unemployment insurance is going to go up. A lot of companies have to have service bonds. That goes up. Liability insurance goes up. All these, because all these are payroll-based. So the more you're paying out, the more these will correspondingly go up. And again, it becomes the question of, as a one-size-fits-all, a two-person, three-person, four-person, five-person shop, they have very, very limited income and an ability to increase their income. Raising this to 15 is not going to get people out of poverty. And studies have shown that this is going to have a negative impact on employers.
Okay, but let's hear from restaurant owner Ned Atwater, who makes the other argument that raising the minimum wage can result in savings in other areas.
It is a struggle to run a business whether we raise wages or not. But when we pay a living wage, running the business becomes easier, not harder. Our staff can focus on the work in front of them instead of worrying about unpaid bills. And they stay with us longer and we spend less time and money on training.
Larry, what about that? That in the long term, it's an investment that will reduce training and turnover costs.
Well, for that gentleman, it sounds like that works and that he's in the ability where he can do that. That's fantastic. What I would turn you to is to listen to businesses that came down to note their concerns. They have concerns. Their employees are concerned that if this goes into place, knowing that their employer cares about them tremendously, but the financial realities of running a business dictate that this could put that employer's ability to keep the employees on board at jeopardy.
Alyssa?
That's just not what we're hearing. Again, we had 36 businesses testify in support to the Senate hearing. We're hearing from restaurants, retailers, manufacturers, service businesses across the state who are really pushing for this increase. The purpose of the minimum wage when it was created as part of the New Deal was to ensure that a working person and one dependent could meet their basic needs and be right above the poverty line. The MIT Living Wage Calculator for Maryland indicates that across the state, you need $15.08 now in order to meet your basic need. That's a far cry from where we are at 10-10. There's also many, many studies of turnover over many years of having a minimum wage, which indicate that it's not as simple as when you increase labor costs, you decrease revenue. That doesn't take into account the decrease in hiring and training costs as you lower your employee turnover, or the improved product quality, better customer service, better efficiency that comes as you have employees that stick around a little bit longer and get to know your business, as well as that boost in customer service. We know that an employee often makes the difference between a repeat customer and a lost customer.
We need to take a quick break here. Alyssa Barron-Menza, Vice President of Business for a Fair Minimum Wage, and Lawrence Richardson Jr., Vice President of Government Affairs for the Maryland Chamber of Commerce, will stick with us. I'm Sheila Cast. Hope you will, too.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Will Maryland raise its minimum wage to $15 an hour? The General Assembly is debating the issue and considering how to phase in an increase over several years and whether certain workers would be exempt. My guests this morning are Alyssa Barron-Menza, Vice President of Business for a Fair Minimum Wage, a national coalition of owners and executives advocating for a higher minimum wage, and Larry Richardson, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Maryland Chamber of Commerce. The chamber opposes the increase. We've got some uninvited backup this morning. Construction noise from rebuilding WYPR's front entrance. Our apologies for that. A study by the National Federation of Independent Business, the trade group for small businesses, predicts 100,000 jobs could be lost over the next decade if Maryland adopts a higher minimum wage. Tom Kunkel, owner of a marketing and printing company in Harford County, testified.
We're going to eliminate jobs. We're going to outsource like we do. We're going to automate like a lot of the restaurant business has done.
If outsourcing and automation are options for employers and something we're seeing at grocery stores and restaurants, won't some businesses choose that over the expense of hiring people?
Absolutely. We've seen a number of entities. New York did that almost immediately upon New York getting ready to go into the $15 minimum wage, especially in the food service industry and hospitality. They immediately started automating.
Alyssa?
We've heard businesses here that have said the same thing.
We would disagree. Automation is happening in states that have kept their minimum wage low, as well as in states that have raised their minimum wage. Keeping the minimum wage low isn't going to stop automation, and it's not a reason to pay people too little to live on, which depresses consumer spending and hurts businesses. And there are plenty of jobs in traditional low-paying industries that can't be automated, like food prep in a restaurant.
Many business owners talked about teenage employees who may just be learning how to behave in a work environment, how to greet customers, how to use software. Is it reasonable to compensate them at $15 an hour when they require so much additional training? Alyssa?
We believe that everyone should earn a decent wage that reflects the current cost of living. Many teenagers are working to support their families. That's especially true because the minimum wage has eroded relative to cost of living, so parents, even working two and three jobs, aren't getting by. We also want teenagers to be saving for school. And finally, we don't want to incentivize employers to be hiring teens instead of adults. We want to ensure we're paying a wage that reflects cost of living and that values employees and doesn't see them as disposable. We feel like for younger workers to feel valued in a business and help them take the job seriously, whether it's lifeguarding or food preparation or caring for our kids, we need an adequate wage that reflects current cost of living. And we know teens are contributing to family incomes, and that's an important factor.
Larry, you want to jump in on teenagers?
DLLR is taking a look at some numbers from the U.S. Department of Labor. Right now, 90% of those aged 16 to 19 in the workforce, it's the highest age category, and it's in that minimum wage. The numbers basically show that within 5 years' time, only one of three small businesses, the phrase goes, gets to live and tell the tale. These small businesses operate on razor-thin margins, and as we've clearly established, it is not just a dollar. It is a panoply of costs that are affiliated with this. And it puts these small businesses in jeopardy. These small businesses that are primary, that are the higher, that are collectively employ a large number of Marylanders. And do you want to put those jobs in jeopardy by doing this? That's because that's what will happen here. You pass this bill, then Walmart and Amazon and all those big stores will thank you because you've just shut down the small competition and now they have those customers.
I need to ask you about tips. The Senate version would phase out the tip credit that can be applied against direct wages paid to tipped employees. Workers who get tips right now must be paid at least $3.63 an hour. If their tips don't bring their earnings up to the state minimum wage, the employer pays the difference. How do you think the traditionally tipped workers would be impacted if the tip credit is replaced by a higher minimum wage, Alyssa?
First, there's a lot of misinformation about what's in the proposed bill. It proposes phasing out the subminimum wage for tip workers over a longer timeline. It doesn't take away tips. There are some that are claiming the bill would do away with tipping, but it just raises the subminimum wage that tip workers earn. There are seven states that have no tip subminimum wage now. The restaurant industry is thriving in all of those states, and tipping culture still exists. So for our restaurant owners that are supporting the phase out of the tip subminimum wage over a longer timeline as proposed, they feel the industry needs to be pushed, that tipping is fundamentally flawed. We know that tipped workers in Maryland live in poverty and depend on food stamps at twice the rate of the general population. So again, the idea here is that we would phase out gradually the tip subminimum wage over a longer timeline that gives businesses time to plan and adjust. It doesn't do anything to tipping culture. That's a nationwide phenomenon. We know from the other states that have no tip subminimum wage that, again, the restaurant industry is thriving and tipping still happens.
Larry, where are you on tips?
Well, the reality of life is that if that business owner, that restaurant owner is now going to be required to pay up to that amount, there is an additional cost to that business owner. If you do the numbers roughly from 363 now to 15, let's assume five folks working a day, 8-hour days, and their restaurant's open 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Do the math, it's roughly an additional $165,000 in salary cost that this business owner's got to address. it's not going to come from more customers coming in. They're going to have to substantively raise their cost. We've heard where, and places do it now, where there, the situation exists, where there's just a 20% surcharge that's put on a bill. So now if all of a sudden that restaurant customer is coming in and there is a 20% higher cost to him just because business owners got to cover cost, is the customer then going to continue to tip? That's a reality question that I don't think has been is properly addressed.
We're flat out of time. Thank you both. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Time.
Thank you very much.
Alyssa Baron-Menza is Vice President of Business for a Fair Minimum Wage. Larry Richardson is Vice President of Government Affairs for the Maryland Chamber of Commerce. The House of Delegates has given initial approval to a bill raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour over 6 years. After another vote in the House, the issue is expected to be taken up by the Senate. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're listening. Join us on the record again tomorrow.
Listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.